There must be clear steps to take for verification, with different levels of authentication depending on the sensitivity of the information. Here are some techniques to consider. Establish the need to know, which may require obtaining authorization from the designated information owner. Keep a personal or departmental log of these transactions. Maintain a list of people who have been specially trained in the procedures and who are trusted to authorize sending out sensitive information. Require that only these people be allowed to send information to anyone outside the work group. If a request for the data is made in writing, email, fax, or mail, take additional security steps to verify that the request actually came from the person it appears to have come from. About passwords. All employees who are able to access any sensitive information, and today that means virtually every worker who uses a computer, need to understand that simple acts like changing your password, even for a few moments, can lead to a major security breach. Security training needs to cover the topic of passwords, and that has to focus in part on when and how to change your password, what constitutes an acceptable password, and the hazards of letting anyone else become involved in the process. The training especially needs to convey to all employees that they should be suspicious of any request that involves their passwords. On the surface, this appears to be a simple message to get across to employees. It's not, because to appreciate this idea requires that employees grasp how a simple act like changing a password can lead to a security compromise. You can tell a child, "Look both ways before crossing the street," but until the child understands why that's important, you're relying on blind obedience, and rules requiring blind obedience are typically ignored or forgotten. Note: passwords are such a central focus of social engineering attacks that we devote a separate section to the topic in Chapter 16, where you will find specific recommended policies on managing passwords. A central reporting point. Your security policy should provide a person or group designated as a central point for reporting suspicious activities that appear to be attempts to infiltrate your organization. All employees need to know who to call any time they suspect an attempt at electronic or physical intrusion. The phone number of the place to make these reports should always be close at hand, so employees don't have to dig for it if they become suspicious that an attack is taking place. Protect your network. Employees need to understand that the name of a computer server or network is not trivial information, but rather it can give an attacker essential knowledge that helps him gain trust or find the location of the information he desires. In particular, people such as database administrators who work with software belong to that category of those with technology expertise, and they need to operate under special and very restrictive rules about verifying the identity of people who call them for information or advice. People who regularly provide any kind of computer help need to be well trained in what kinds of requests should be red flags, suggesting that the caller may be attempting a social engineering attack. It's worth noting, though, that from the perspective of the database administrator in the last story in this chapter, the caller met the criteria for being legitimate. He was calling from on campus, and he was obviously on a site that required an account name and password. This just makes clear once again the importance of having standardized procedures for verifying the identity of anybody requesting information, especially in a case like this, where the caller was asking for help in obtaining access to confidential records. All of this advice goes double for colleges and universities. It's not news that computer hacking is a favorite pastime for many college students. And it should also be no surprise that student records, and sometimes faculty records as well, are a tempting target. This abuse is so rampant that some corporations actually consider campuses a hostile environment and create firewall rules that block access from educational institutions with addresses that end in .edu. The long and short of it is that all student and personnel records of any kind should be seen as prime targets of attack and should be well protected as sensitive information. Training tips. Most social engineering attacks are ridiculously easy to defend against for anyone who knows what to be on the lookout for. From the corporate perspective, there is a fundamental need for good training. But there is also a need for something else, a variety of ways to remind people of what they've learned. Use splash screens that appear when the user's computer is turned on with a different security message each day. The message should be designed so that it does not disappear automatically, but requires the user to click on some kind of acknowledgement that he or she has read it. Another approach I recommend is to start a series of security reminders. Frequent reminder messages are important. An awareness program needs to be ongoing and never-ending. In delivering content, the reminders should not be worded the same in every instance. Studies have shown that these messages are more effectively received when they vary in wording or when used in different examples. One excellent approach is to use short blurbs in the company newsletter. This should not be a full column on the subject, although a security column would certainly be valuable. Instead, design a 2 or 3 column wide insert, something like a small display ad in your local newspaper. In each issue of the newsletter, present a new security reminder in this short, attention-catching way.